obviously were technology challenged today. But then again, I'm only going to have a couple of comments. Again, my name is Ken Oakley. My doctorate is actually in health management. It's not public health. I'm from the Orleans. I'm actually the sponsoring organization for the Orleans Genesee group. But I'm also on the board of directors of Genesee County, and I was one of the ones that was totally against this thing ever happening. So I'm here to give a little bit of a realistic perspective from that perspective. In terms of disclosures, I got to tell you, we're from Buffalo, New York. It's snowing. We're expecting 3 more feet. We're not going to get home tonight. That's the only disclosure I have. But basically, our Board of Health really was sold on the idea of walking before you run. It's the only way it ever got through us, up through to us. We had a 7-member board. We had 3 physicians, myself as a PhD, and then a nurse and a couple of others, community members. And really, we went through that decade that Paul alluded to calling us old, but we were there. I've been there on the board for 12 years, of really struggling with senior leadership positions, either recruitment or retention. And when it was proposed to us at the Genesee County level that we should consider joint cross-jurisdictional sharing, we were extremely skeptical because we had already struggled enough, and here we were going to accept potential leadership from another county to come into our turf, so there were some turf issues there. The only way we got around that was to own the fact that, yeah, let's do this as a pilot, let's walk before we run, let's test it, let's do it okay. But then also with board members, oh, and also remember we're from New York, and New York State is highly regulated, and we weren't sure it was going to be approved, and we were going to be able to pull it off anyways. But we also, the Board of Health, had to recognize that we had expectations to meet. We had critical needs that simply were not being addressed. And as a Board of Health member, if we looked and said, you know, maybe this is a better mousetrap, maybe this is a better way for us to go together, then we really do deserve to give it a try. And the economics were driving it as well. I mean, let's face it, it's been a tough public health economic environment for the last several years. And we knew we couldn't sustain doing what we were doing. In fact, we were suffering significant losses, particularly in Genesee County as opposed to Orleans County, in terms of state resources, in terms of local community commitment to support resources. So we just had to do it. And so I'm kind of here today to say, reinforce what Pat was saying in terms of saying this isn't necessarily a continuum that's on it. It doesn't have to be full integration. It can be partial integration. It can, doesn't have to be, a gradual movement towards full integration. I think from our experience, clearly, I was dead wrong. You know, this has been a great experience for both counties. It has improved economically, without question, economic efficiencies. From a quality perspective, the standardization has been fantastic. We now look at policies and procedures and say, which one of these makes the most sense? Is there a better one out there? Can we standardize it? Can we move forward? So in every aspect of this journey that we've been on, we've found that it's absolutely worth considering and certainly worth pursuing. The last thing I want to say, though, is that for us, there's still lots more work to do. We were, you know, we had a site visit, and we're talking about integrating boards. Now, from our county manager's perspective, and perhaps even from our county legislator's perspective, they're saying, yep, let's integrate, let's create a single board. That's the next step. The state is saying, oh, not so fast. We'll allow you to have mirror boards. Will allow you to have the same exact people on both boards, but you're still going to have to, by state statute, have 2 boards. Now, that's kind of funny. It's a workaround, but okay, that's where we're going for the next step. And then we're going to have a process to say, all right, let's prove that this works, and then let's take it back forward to the state legislature and let's make some changes. There's lots more to be done, without question. And we're really excited to be part of this, and we're learning a lot, and we thank the center for all the support that they've given us and the opportunity to go along on this journey with us. So thank you very much.
Any questions? I have a question that doesn't relate is, we do see a big small dynamic, and I would agree, at least it's my sense, I don't know that we have documented it effectively, but like jurisdictions, it's probably easier for them to find themselves further on the spectrum diagram than on the further to the right than to the left, if you recall that. The roadmap, though, tool, when you use that first phase and really say, do we have a shared, is there an outcome, are our objectives sufficient that you can ask those questions? It may be that the answer at a point in time, particularly in a really big, small dynamic, it may say, no, this really isn't the model for us. We hear from bigs that they're concerned about being sliced thin, but losing their capacity in these, and then you hear from the smalls of losing their identity and the like. No. What we have learned is that big-small dynamic is not a function of absolute numbers, it's a function of relativity. With several of our projects where the really big is at 30,000, the other four are in the tens, so that played out. And on the other end, the small one was, 400,000, 450,000, and the big is 3.5 million. So it's interesting, I always think of a 400,000 county, population county as big, but that dynamic is there. They got to a point on an agreement where they were probably a little further to the left on that scale, where they're doing something, rather than a shared oversight or the like. There may be dynamic there, but it's a fair question.
I think sometimes the only thing I'd add to that is sometimes I think it's more a matter of perception than it is reality. And so I think sometimes at least it may be that they're very different, but sometimes it's just even in our small counties, it's like, well, we're so different. So we said, okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how are we different? Let's look at our average population, our average income. Let's look at, and it was like, well, I guess we're not all that different. It's like, no, we're not different at all, except more people live in this county than that county, but how we look is very much the same. So I think to explore it a little bit to see if is it real or is it just a perception is very easy to say. That's a very good excuse for not doing it. It's like, we're so different.
I can speak to, in New York State, we're restricted by regulatory issues. I mentioned briefly that in the law allows for up to three counties of a total of 150,000 population. So as I shared our geographical location, we couldn't be in this relationship with Monroe County or Erie County. We have a gigantic and large population compared to ours. So we're somewhat restricted. With that being said, though, you know, we couldn't do the relationship that we have with our sharing of staff, et cetera. But we still have a lot of intermunicipal agreements and memorandum, that Don alluded to, where we help each other out and partner and share and meet regularly as a consortium. So, I think the level and the depth of it can vary by state regulation, too.
I was just curious from the example counties whether you think this has a potential or has been a model for other kinds of county services, social services, transportation, law enforcement. Are your counties looking at this as a model to maybe apply to other kinds of services?
Yeah, I can speak to that, too. When you talk about the relational aspect, Genesee and Orleans have done some youth bureau sharing even prior to the public health initiative. Obviously, it's a much smaller scale and scope, but since we've started our project, the two counties are also now sharing community continuing data treatment services, we're looking at this definitely with some mental health program issues in some other areas. So, what we've done is relative to public health, but the principles and the stuff we've put together through the roadmap, go well beyond public health and scope. And there's definitely talk, and I think as opportunities arise between the two counties, we talk about that a lot, that, those will be looked at as opportunities to maybe look at some more sharing out, things across the board.
And the same is true in our counties. I know the five humans there. We have five separate human service agencies with five separate directors. Two of them are very near retirement, and I know that the elected officials are saying, boy, if this can work for public health, why can't it? So that we expect that it will continue.
that we discuss all the time is that could be a deal breaker. That could be the wall that we can't get beyond. Because if we start finding out we're going to lose money.
Yeah, we're continually talking to the State Department of Health. Where's that break point? You know, where do you stop looking at us as two entities versus one? I mean, our whole funding structure in New York State is built upon state aid. And, you know, it's one of those things that we get a separate pot of money for both counties. And where do you view us two separate to the one and say, oh, well, now we don't have to give you as much money, which is in the face of what they're trying to push with shared services. So there is a tipping point there. And we don't know if we've reached it or when we're going to reach it, but that would be for all breaks on, for sure.
Yeah. How often can I say that to you? Like, how do you deal with ordinance changes? Like, if you have a food protection ordinance, do you have one that covers, or are with the five counties, are you going to have one that covers everyone, or do you keep that autonomy and each county board approves their version of it?
We're actually doing one ordinance that we're working on right now for our food protection program. And we will have the individual counties approve it as well. We want one ordinance. We don't want ordinances that are almost the same, because if we have, it's impossible to administer that. So we are very deliberately getting buy-in from all of the individual counties, but the ordinance is actually a Horizon Public Health ordinance.
In New York State has a lot of sanitary codes that have been, you know, basically passed down to local public health enforces those codes. So there's a lot of commonality anyways, especially in our environmental health area. But we do have a local sanitary code, which over the last 2 years we've worked on aligning those to basically be mirrors of each other. The boards of health actually just approved those for implementation January 1. So although we're still separate, we're going to basically be operating under a common code, which will again be beneficial for staff that are crossing over those lines to do the work. So.
I would just add, I showed a very brief Carson City, Nevada example, where Douglas County actually adopted the environmental code, and it was slightly different than the one in Carson City. So they did some training, and particularly in a couple of areas where one would cover tattoo parlors and a couple of other things that the other wouldn't. So, and again, think about that spectrum diagram. The further to the right you move on that, the more likely you are to have integrated policy.
Two questions. All right. My first two questions were actually asked, so I'm going to go to number three. And this is, I think, for Dr. Rowe, best to answer. I'm from Long Island, a different part of the state where if my neighboring health commission is coming over, we expect them to come with some toilet paper. And there's 400,000 people that live on my block alone. So the question that I'm really addressing is, I've been very jealous when I have my colleagues like Paul from that western region of the state, where you currently have seven or eight very bright, very friendly, very like-minded people who've been able to collaborate, and that's why this is so successful, Paul being one of them, and he's my least favorite of them all. But, but the question is, as a model, because you're the academic person who's going to be there regardless of the politics of different counties, it's not always going to be seven or eight like-minded, young, bright public health directors who are making all these collaborations and are kind of, Paul talked about guiding the coffee talks, guiding the resources together. How is a model, from an academic standpoint, could this withhold the change that's inevitably going to come in the future?
Well, I think you have to get back to history, and I do have to perhaps give a change in your perception. I've been with the University of Buffalo at this time for 12 years. I'm not a traditional academician. In a former life, you see Paul here, you would have seen my face. I ran the Genesee County Health Department for 17 years. One of the advantages of that right now is that I can, as the director of the Office of Public Health Practice, help to align how the university thinks with the practice community. And we look at the development of how this partnership arrangement in Western New York came about. I'll do this as quickly as I can. What I didn't tell you is that at the coalition level, why the coalition ever started. At that particular point in time, the relationship between local health departments and the state was abysmal, confrontational, outright aggressive. That has changed dramatically over the time. But it started us requiring to meet informally, without even any budget, saying we need to talk together about how we do this. And then once that happened, and I get it gets back to these issues of working together, developing tangible things. I referred to the notion of the physician's guide. I also talked about the notion of the regional adult behavioral health risk assessment. I would use those tools to show to other places that collaboration and partnership is not only an idea, but it's a practical solution to problems when people are willing to work collectively together. And so, in fact, one of the things that I do is take this very information and talk to our new public health officials, our students, about the collaborations and partnerships and what those potentials are and how they can be involved. In fact, one of our students, one of our MPH students, was really instrumental in crunching all of the data and working with the project right from the beginning. Universities can do a lot, especially ones like ours. We have a requirement for MPH graduates to have, before they graduate, field training, call it capstone, call it internship. And so it provides an additional resource where the student brings some epidemiological biostat skills to a particular function and can do many, many things. So I would use that. And then I also use the long-standing relationships that I've been able to build over these many years at the state level. Knowing people at the state level, the local